Well, it's always our pleasure to say hello to our friends at the Show Me Institute. They're a think tank based in Missouri. And David Stokes joins us on KCMO Talk Radio on a Wednesday just after 8:30. David, good morning. I want to talk about this Paragon Star Sports Complex that you guys have done some good reporting on out in Lee's Summit. It's a mixed-use village project, huge development. It's been subsidized from top to bottom. It hasn't, I got to be honest, it hasn't gotten a lot of attention here locally, David. Maybe it's too hyper-local for some people, but what's the deal with this complex in terms of, first off, how it was built and what it brings to the table?
Well, Pete, great to be on the air with you. And yeah, as you said, correct, it is a huge project. It's got sports fields for youth sports. It's got medical office buildings, restaurants, apartments, hotels, retail. It's a big deal. And I'm sure it's gonna be a neat spot when it's done. And it's gonna happen. I've got no delusions that the final piece in the subsidy puzzle is gonna be defeated by the Lee City Council, although I think that would be great. But yes, you also said correctly that it's been subsidized top to bottom, and over the long term, they've been sort of working this through the Lee Summit city government system for about 5 years. They approved a tax increment financing proposal for it at the beginning. They revised and expanded that TIF about a year and a half to 2 years ago. They're going to do a special sales tax for it, like all of these developments, so that if you go there and buy stuff, you'll pay even more in sales taxes, although you probably won't be aware of it. And then finally, the final puzzle is this neighborhood improvement district property and tax and special assessments they're putting in to further subsidize the developers. And that's what we want the public to know about, is that the total subsidy at this point is going to be in the range of $30 to $40 million. And that's a lot of taxpayer money. And there's a special hearing on it, sort of the final public hearing on it. I think it's September 21st, Lee Summit City Council. And it should be interesting. But again, no delusions that it's going to be stopped. Construction's already begun on it. But it's an important lesson for people to realize that, unfortunately, the use of these subsidies is now just standard for just about every development. And that's what's really got to change.
You know, David, it's interesting, too, because all these city councils, I mean, this is true in Kansas. I mean, Johnson County, all these cities are fighting over the same nonsense. We want a multi-use or mixed-use, project, and they all want it. They're all competing over it. And, you know, a part of me says, okay, I get wanting more corporate stuff, bigger stuff like this, right? Because it helps lessen the tax burden on us, on homeowners. But then the question is, at what cost? And that seems to be the never-ending debate, right?
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Absolutely. And it's just, the debate is unfortunately gone to the side of the developers in most of the state, in that it's just sort of assumed that you're going to get your subsidy for your, whatever the project is. This one is a very large mixed-use development, but the area it's being put in isn't the slightest bit blighted. It's a very prosperous, growing, vibrant area. At least some, it's a great community. But sort of they're doing this in a bit of it's in the floodplain as well, which adds this whole other layer of concern that taxpayers are subsidizing a floodplain development, which in the long run is a pretty much guaranteed to make flooding in the region worse. So that's just the problem we have, is that all these city councils, many of them part-time, going up against a phalanx of developers and lawyers and city administrators and city managers that want all these projects to go forward, you know, it's just assumed that taxpayers are going to subsidize this now. And it didn't used to be that way. And that's the part we can never stop repeating enough, that if you go back just 20, 25 years, these types of subsidies would have been the exception in a place like Lee Summit, the very rare exception. And now they're standard. And that's really got to change, and it's got to change at the state level, because for the most part the cities and the counties in Missouri, and as you correctly noted, they do this stuff in Kansas just as much. The cities and counties in Missouri and Kansas have demonstrated that they're just, if they've got a project and they've got to use taxpayer subsidies to do it, they're all in, and that's unfortunate because economic study after economic study shows that style of growth doesn't work. These types of subsidies aren't necessary. They're generally very wasteful, and it just doesn't grow the economy as much as they think it does.
Is there a moment, David, that you thought that the public, I don't know if the public opinion on this changed, but you noted that the developer side continues to win out at the local and state level, especially over the last 15, 20 years. What was that moment, if there was one, that you think the tide started to turn where all of a sudden this went from being the exception to basically being the rule?
I'm going to take one of your two questions first here. The public is starting to get it around the state. The public, when they lean into this, when they hear these stories, the public is starting to realize that school districts are getting jobs here. They're the ones losing these tax revenues. And when new residents come into a community and because of the TIF or the other subsidies aren't paying their share, that means taxes are going to be raised on other people not in the subsidized district. So the public is starting to get it. And in a few places, a few counties around the state, St. Charles County on the eastern side of the state is a good example. You've got enough public officials stepping forward and pushing back. And in St. Louis County, there was a huge $150 million TIF proposal that was defeated about two years ago, and that was fantastic. But we're not seeing that in enough places. So while the public is seeing it, you know, the power of the developer industrial complex, the power to seek the subsidies, and the ideas are just putting suburbs against suburbs, saying, you know, if Lee Summit wants this development, you have to give us this subsidy, or else we're going to move it to Blue Springs, or mm-hmm. else we're going to move it to Independence. And that's why the state level changes are going to be so important here, even if it's as simple as moving some of these decisions, taking it away from the cities and moving it to the county level, to hope in some places the counties will at least think more regionally than the cities do, because in the most cases, the cities don't think regionally at all. They think what's in it for them.
Yeah, that is true. All right, I want to ask you then about David Stokes' Show Me Institute, about the neighborhood improvement district that you talked about earlier, a special taxing district that will now be in Lee's Summit, part of this Paragon Star sports complex. Is that like basically the streetcar sales tax that is now in Kansas City, Missouri, in the special district that, you know, got the vote on the streetcar and now supposedly is the heavy users of the streetcar? Is it basically the same thing?
It's similar to that, of course. I mean, yes, it's a special taxing district that's going to be used to subsidize this development. One of the questions I'm going to ask at this public hearing is that as I read about this neighborhood improvement district, it seems to be, from everything I'm studying here, additional money that they're going to collect from the future tenants, from the future property owners, to allow the subsidy for the developer now to be increased. And they're going to have this money available if the TIF falls short. In other words, if what happens in Independence with the Bass Pro, where the taxpayers ended up on the hook for the Bass Pro Shop because they didn't meet their TIF projections, this NID seems to be sort of a backstop on that. It's almost an additional developer subsidy out there that might have, you know, I want to give them the benefit of the doubt here. It might be there for an additional taxpayer defense. So almost sort of we had to, you know, in order to save the project, we had to increase the develop. In order to protect the taxpayer, we have to increase the subsidy for the developer. Something, if we had to, you know, we had to save the village, so we had to destroy the village type of argument. But I'm going to talk to them about that on the 21st. And it's a big additional part. I'm staring right at it from the report, $19 million in additional NID. They call it NID security. I don't know if security is really the right term because it is a subsidy. But in the end, it might be there to protect the general taxpayers of Lee Summit. And that wouldn't be the worst part. That wouldn't be the worst use of it.
Mm-hmm. I agree. David Stokes, Show Me Institute. David, thanks for being here as always. Have a great day.
Great always being with you, Pete. A lot of information on tax subsidies like this and many others at showmeinstitute.org.
You bet. And I think people are paying attention. They're waking up to this charade. There's no doubt about it.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.